generally now be converted to idols. There are some people even in Bride Assembly Church that if Pastor Moses is not in the church, if he travels, they will come back from the gate and go home. You have heard it. I've heard it too. They have made Pastor Moses their idol. That's their God. Their God didn't come today, so let them go back. It was, he said, yeah, it's just him I want to hear. You have made Pastor Moses your idol. If not him, nobody else. Don't want to hear any other person. You select who to listen to. Those are your idols. May God deliver you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was watching a news channel yesterday, this Iranian channel, Press TV. And I saw, you know, the Muslim woman there. She dressed and covered up and covered everywhere. Dressed and covered up everywhere. You know the way the Shiites, I think they are Shiites, the way they cover themselves, you know. And everywhere covered. And she was a professional journalist. And she was reading the news, conducting interviews. And what came to my mind is, she's not ashamed to declare her faith, her identity. But not Christians. All those newscasters you see in Nigerian television stations, they belong to one church. They have a pastor. All those musicians you see performing all those things, they go to the club, perform. They come to church again and sing. They have pastors. You see? Oh, praise the Lord. That is the problem with the Christian faith. You don't want to look different. You don't want to look different. Praise the Lord. We must look different. Everything you do, you want to do it, regulate it the same way. Even if you go to our churches today, our churches, the setting that is inside the church, that the setting, all those mwin light that we show everywhere, mwin, different, where do we get it from? It's from nightclub. Now, I was a nightclubber before. Mwin, you have brought that also into the sanctuary. All of us. Until even your choice of where to go and worship, you want to see how is the environment. You select where to attend as a church. How fine is the building? So we too were busy with one of it to attract the people to come. A special seating, special this, everywhere is wrong, everywhere is air conditioner, and then all the latest technology and everything. Praise the Lord. We regulate even the worship by test. Everything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to put it in a way. Amen. You have not seen where pastors, churches now, you know, for your church to be recognized that it is a happening place. You go to Nollywood in Nigeria, Nollywood actors, so that you do everything to bring them to attend your church. So when they come, you put cameras there to show that even Nollywood actors are coming to attend your church. That means you have arrived. Hey, see what Christianity has reduced to when you match with the world. What does Nollywood or Bollywood or Hollywood, what has that got to do with the place of worship? Is it a place? Is it a theater? What has that got to do with church? You celebrate them that they come to church. You celebrate Nollywood, Nollywood actor. Then you are bragging. He comes to our church. Then they give them front seat. Then they are pointing them. Then they are calling them out. And to them, that is marketing. So that people will now say, ah, church that Nollywood actors are going. Celebrities. Celebrity. You can imagine we are recognizing celebrity in the church. Worldly celebrity. Instead of celebrating Christ, we are celebrating celebrities. May God help us. James chapter 4, verse 4. Pastor Moses, are you saying that it's wrong for Nollywood actors to come to church? Did I say so? Amen. The truth about it is, before I read it, let me make this comment. Listen very well. Listen, you pastors listening to me, including you, all of you. Listen very well. Amen. You are interested in them because you are their fans. That is the idolatry. You see? I have my fan too. Praise the Lord. Amen. They are Bible characters that build my faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You have your fans. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this because many of us are in trouble with God and we don't know it. If you talk of the world of entertainment, I was deeply involved in it as an unbeliever. But when I gave my life to Christ, my attention shifted. I don't know what is the new thing that is in you that you are born again. You just add Jesus to your old lifestyle. I see Christians and they have filled their head with all the names of all the actors. They know the latest happening with Regina Daniels. I think there's one like that. So one old man married one young girl, something like that. Engineer Regina, I know, you know, I see it somewhere. And the Christians are following, and they made that girl their idol. And they are following her in Facebook, in Instagram. What has a Christian got to do with that? They have football stars. Football idols. They know the football clubs. Christians. And all. Praise God. Amen. And some and you see them engrossed. Engrossed. I visit some of you in your houses. When I visit them, you know I'm coming. That's why I don't like telling people I'm coming. It helps me to know the spiritual state of the people. I will just pastor is here. Pastor is here. I go enter. Why? What happened? You know my brother. I'll come visit you. Just watch the TV. 90% of the homes I have visited, the TV is on Nollywood. Then when I sit down, they go change them. You say, these children. Put it on bright TV. Put it on bright TV. You are watching your idol. It's your idol you are watching. You know, so I was in a restaurant one time. We are the children, the family, and people like that. Then this lady entered. I didn't even know. I didn't take note of it. Then I noticed the whole restaurant, everybody was, you know. Then I was asking, I said, what's happening? Daddy, me, don't know her. I said, know who?
that lady now? That's the truth. I said, who is she that they don't know her? Tell me now, who is she? He was saying that Nollywood. Oh God. I should know her that what? That she asks of him, do I watch film? Watch what? No, daddy, there are a lot of things we learn there. More than I learned from here. More than I learned from here, from my Bible. You have made them your idol. Nothing more. You are finished spiritually, you don't know it. That's the truth. And they become their fan. They are fan. They are playing football match. Your club is playing, and there is church service. That is where you will know what I'm talking about. Especially the funniest part. Oh, Pastor, you are dull now. You are odd now. You are odd. Odd where? Is it the same Holy Ghost I receive that you receive? I say you are practicing idolatry without knowing it. There is a way. You are to love God with the whole of your heart, the whole of your mind, the whole of your soul, and all of your spirit. All. Any other thing becomes distraction. Sit down for 2 hours. I am watching movie. And you cannot spend 30 minutes to read the Bible. You can't. You know where your mind is. You know where your heart is. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4, from verse 4. See the way he call you. See the way he call you. You adulterers and adulteresses. You would think that it is fornication, Abi. That's what he's talking about. Yes, but watch what he's saying here. See why he call you adulterers and adulteresses. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. See why he call you an adulterer. He says, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So, friendship of this world with the things of this world before God, it is adultery because you are sharing your heart with worldliness. He said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That is the truth. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe with the whole of my heart that the best thing that can happen to a country like Nigeria and any other country is that Christians will rule, will be in the helm of affair. I mean Christians. You know. But when we see the type of politics that is going on in Nigeria, and I see like there's the pastor in a those states now that is gunning for the gubernatorial office of a those state, and every time they keep saying pastor, I'm learning not to be calling names again, pastor. And has his political camp. And all the politicians in that camp, they are not believers. So the question I come is, I say, how is he able to blend there if he's actually a pastor? You know, I'm just saying, I don't know. It must be some very high grace. It must be some very, very, very high grace. Because anybody, you see the world all around you like that, embracing you, it is because you have identified with them. There must be some compromises in one way or the other. Now, I'm even saying, why are you still bearing that name, that title, pastor. You see, our vice president is not bearing that title. He was a pastor, and he's still a pastor. But for now, he's not doing pastoral duty. So he dropped the title pastor. He's now professor. You know, that is very understandable. Because the two cannot go together. But we're happy he's there. And I wish more can be there. But I'm saying for him to have succeeded to that level must take some high grace. Very few of them are given such grace. Praise the Lord. Because there is no how that you will not compromise. It's give and take. Praise the Lord. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelling in us lusted to envy? He said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My emphasis here is the idea of making worldly things so much of an idol around you. That's what we're saying. You are looking for trouble, child of God. Idol number 5. Hallelujah. And I should soon be rounding up. Idol number 5 is the idol of the sanctuary. Ezekiel chapter 8 from verse 5. Read it on your own. Ezekiel chapter 8 from verse 5. If you read it up to verse 18, God showed Ezekiel the abominations that were taking place in the temple. All manner of images were made and hung around the temple, and God was not happy with it. Objects that are set up for worship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you go to some churches, you know, people are sitting there at home, so I don't want people to get angry that I'm talking against them. But I have to say it. Every Catholic church you enter has a shrine inside there. Every Catholic compound, church compound you enter, immediately you enter, there is a place designed somewhere with an image carved. The emphasis of idolatry, amen, is that you should not, of that commandment, is that you should not raise up any image and bow before them. Bow before them. Read it again, please. Exodus chapter 20. I don't know whether they are not seeing this. I don't know whether they are not reading this. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, including Mary, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Then he added in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. The emphasis there is, don't bow down to them. Don't bow down to, don't raise anything and bow down to it. Church, listen. Listen very well. I'm coming home. It's very important. Praise the Lord. In the New Testament church, there is no physical altar anywhere. that is built as like the altar of that we see in the Old Testament, the altar where sacrifices are offered. And I'm happy, Oscar. I'm happy that we are all here listening. I'm happy that we are all here listening. We should correct these things. We are now in the stage of perfection. In the New Testament church, listen, altar is a place where God meets with you for your offerings. And he told the children of Israel that he is the one that chooses where you should take your sacrifices to. He said, you should not offer sacrifices in any other place. Only in that place where he has chosen to place his name there. Solomon built the altar, and it was dedicated to the name of the Lord. And the place was created where that symbolic ark was kept, and the glory of God was there. But Ezekiel saw when that glory left through the eastern gate. And shortly after, Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed that temple. Listen very well. Praise the Lord. And that glory never came back again to Israel. That glory was God's Shekinah glory, Shekinah presence, that nobody was able to behold. Once in a year, the high priest went before it after a lot of purification process. That is why anywhere Israel is, the Jew is, if he's praying, he's facing the direction of that temple, because that was where the glory of God was. That glory that left did not come back again until in Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the glory that came, hallelujah, and poured himself. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That glory came. Who is Jesus? See what he said. Hallelujah. Offering sacrifices, thou willest not, but what? Hebrew chapter 10. Oh, glory be to God. I hope I'm not digressing. You have to catch this, because this affects all of us. All of us. Hallelujah. Verse 5, Hebrew chapter 10. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou willest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Listen very well. Hallelujah. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that messenger? John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek, the creator of the heavens and the earth that you are serving, shall suddenly come to his temple. Who is that temple? Jesus Christ says, destroy this temple. Hallelujah. In 3 days I'll raise it up. Hallelujah. Jesus is the temple that carried God. He was a type of that altar. A veil covered the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was. When Jesus Christ, they are still looking at the temple that Herod built, the one that Solomon built, the glory had left. They are just repeating what happened. They're just a ceremony. It was just ceremonial worship. He had left them and came back to the temple he prepared by himself in the womb of a virgin woman. That Jesus received not the Spirit by measure, because the fullness of God dwelt in him. Hallelujah. Therefore, he was the one now that veiled the Holy Ghost inside of him. His flesh was a type of that veil that covered the Holy of Holies. But this time, the Spirit was in him. That is why when that Roman soldier tore the side of Jesus, as he was tearing his side here, the veil in that temple was tearing from up to down. He tore it so that the ghost was released. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's chosen place of worship is not in any building again. God's chosen place of worship was in Christ. And when Christ comes to dwell in you, hallelujah, you become God's chosen place of worship inside of you. When you carry Christ, you have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you have this revelation, what is the emphasis about altar? All this altar, 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 as if there's something special about the altar. No, let me correct this thing. Praise the Lord. This is idolatry carried from our unbelief. When you go to shrine, if you look at some altars, they are nothing but shrine. Go to especially Catholic churches. Go to some of these orthodox. Go to Sele. Go to all these places. You just know that that is a shrine. That's the spirit of idolatry. Now listen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen. God honors faith. That's what I want to make clear. Now you can dedicate a place for your devotion. You can dedicate a place. It is faith in action. But you must have this knowledge. If not, what of those who rent halls for worship? God won't be there, eh? Because they give you time. You have to worship here for 4 hours. Later on, they will turn it to another event. The same hall that you use for worship, the same hall they are drinking beer and doing party after some time. Praise the Lord. Of course, God honors it. Anything you dedicate to God and say, this place, we call here the lighthouse, must not be consecrated. We dedicate it, consecrate it unto the service of the Lord. God honors it. But have this at the back of your mind. That's why I said, you can close the church building, but you can never close the church of Jesus Christ. Because the church is not a building. It is the church. It's a building where the church goes together. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So when you catch this, therefore, this idea of when you are given revelation, go and bow at the altar 7 times. I want it corrected. I want it corrected. Please. Most of go bow at the altar is you saying it. It's not God. It's not God. No, it's not God. Amen. It is you saying it, you know, because you believe that the place is dedicated to God. So you come and bow, you know. But I am saying that you can as well tell that person, bow down where you are. When you say, come to the altar and bow here, then you are looking at that place as if it is This is where God is. No, our God is no more stationed in any particular place. Our God, we carry him. We are living sanctuaries. It's in our heart. There are some of you that create altars in your one room or the other. You keep Bible one kind, keep candle, put flower, put. It's a shrine you are raising. It's a shrine. You can pray anywhere. Anywhere you can pray. While you are driving, you can pray. When you come home, you can pray. Family come together in wherever you can come and pray. All these things. Let's remove this idolatry from us. That's what we want to achieve. Am I saying something? I'm teaching Bible. Praise the Lord. There is nothing like any physical altar anywhere that God has appointed as a place of worship for him. But you can dedicate a place. We dedicate a place. You can decide to go to a church building, go to whatever place they dedicate as a praying place, praying altar, whatever it is, but have this at the back of your mind. Praise the Lord. The book of Nehemiah, that was where we began to see the podium. It's in the book of Nehemiah. They will gather the people on the platform so that he'll be higher than it, so that everybody can see him. Then he will read the law like we read the Bible. And when they finish there, they say amen. They are reminded. What I'm doing now, I'm reading the Bible, I'm reminding you. So we stand in a podium. You know, and most of the Pentecostal churches are catching it now. Most, when you look at their altars, you don't see any fantastic thing there. They are just elevation for them. And even what where they place their Bible is just something, it's like it's immovable. Maybe when they are coming, they bring it, they place their Bible. When they finish, they go, you know. I'm sure this is the revelation behind, you know, the reason they do that. And we that we say we are the bride, we should learn this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Prophet Daniel, don't you tell anybody. The Lord say you should go to the altar and bow. No. But you can decide on your own. You say, come here and bow here before the Lord. Bow before the Lord. We'll learn all this. I'm guilty of it. I'm teaching myself too. Praise the Lord. I'm teaching myself too. And where we are most confused is that when you tell them to do it, there will be result. So there is result. So people begin to think that means there's something in that altar. But not knowing that, you went there with the faith, believing that God is there. And God will honor faith. But that does not justify that idolatry. Didn't you hear him say that it's not everyone that say, Lord, Lord, that will enter into the kingdom. Some will say, in your name I cast out spirit. I do this. He said, he will not deny it. But he said, I didn't know you. You that walk iniquity. What is iniquity? You know the right thing to do, you refuse to do it. Now you know the right thing. The fact that Moses did the wrong thing in striking that rock, did the water come out? Did the people drink the water? Were they not revived? But did they do it according to what God said to do? Okay. So that you now understand. Did Moses make it to the promised land? He paid dearly for it. So that you are making people to become idol worshippers. Idol worshippers. And I see result does not make you right with God. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Idolatry in the church, bowing down. There are even human beings. Oh, Jesus. Amen. There is also the subtle homage paid to human names and human theological systems. Human names. Amen. The reverence that we give to the name of Jesus. There is a way that we have idolized even human names. That when we call those names, we call those names with reverence. We idolize. That's why I put it as it's a subtle homage. Subtle homage to human names and human theological systems. When you hear them talk about men that were highly used by God. When you see them talking, Luther, Wesley, until we now have Lutherans. We now have Wesleyans. We now have Brahamites. The worst are the worshippers of William Branham. The followers, a section of the followers of William Branham. When you see them, they can call, when they call that name Branham, it goes with a reverence. A subtle homage they pay to that name. You didn't hear me making calculation about the name of Abraham. William, 7 letters. Abraham, 7 letters. William, 7 letters. You didn't hear me talk about his birthday. You hear me talk about the supernatural things. Do you see? Have you not heard me spend so much time talking about the greatness of William Abraham? Is that what God called me to do? Who called me, Abraham or Jesus? I know more of William Abraham than I know of Jesus. Subtle idolatry has entered. Why? Because that is the visible one we see. The invisible Christ, we have put him in oblivion. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about idolatry that goes on even within the church. You want to make a man co-equal with his Savior. Inside churches, enter-message churches, you see them hanging at the altar. Pictures of William Branham. As I'm preaching now, his picture will not be here. They put it here. That's their God now. That's their God. While the Pentecostals put the picture of the wife and the husband at the signboard, we, the enter message, we put the picture of William Branham. Man worship has taken over the church of Jesus Christ. That is subtle idolatry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why you see, begin to see all these titles created to these idols. Reverend. Reverend Doctor. Amen. Reverend Bishop, Archbishop. And see all the titles. Prelate, Monsignor, His Grace, His Eminence. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And preachers have generally now been converted to idols. Praise the Lord. There are some people, even in Bride Assembly Church, that if Pastor Moses is not in the church,
Did they travel? Say they will turn back from the gate and go home. You have heard it. You have heard it. I've heard it too. They have made Pastor Moses their idol. That's their God. Their God didn't come today, so let them go back. It was, he said, yeah, it's just him I want to hear. You have made Pastor Moses your idol. If not him, nobody else. Don't want to hear any other person. You select who to listen to. Those are your idols. May God deliver you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have preachers too who demand followership. They demand worship. Yes. They demand reverence. They demand reverence. When you open the door to enter pastor's office, immediately you enter, you must go on your knees. Hey! Pastor Zoe is looking for you. The immediately you enter before Pastor Zoe. That the daddy. Hey! May God help us. Many of them come to my office with that spirit. They seek appointment to see me. Immediately they enter. Daddy, then they're on their knees. I say, what is this? Stand up. I'm your brother. Some of them will say, sir, I'm sitting with you like this. We are talking. I hope it's not a dream. What? Who am I? You will soon discover that you are the one that made me what you think I am. Now you are meeting me now, who I am. Eh? Praise God. Some sisters from Ghana came to visit me. They spent some time in one of the programs. I was hearing this later. That they went back home and they were telling stories. That in Ghana, the preachers there have a tradition. Pastors or ministers, they don't eat. They don't eat with members. No, now they have to put their own special. And then they say food was set on my dining table, and I came there and I served myself, and we sat down. We were eating together. I didn't know that I was desecrating their tradition. Oh, see what Christianity has been reduced to. Brother Abraham said, a shepherd smells like her sheep. Why? Because they are always together. They are always together. Praise the Lord. Why can't I eat together with you? Why can't I drink together with you? Because I have made myself a God. Nothing more. And that is one of the spirits that I fought here. Now, one of the ministers, I have to let them know that I'm not just saying, it's something that we have tried to practice in this church. If you make me special, you are the one. I'm not guilty of it. If you turn me to an idol, I'm not. I ban everybody from putting my picture on their phone. What do you call it? Screensaver. Why will a woman that is married, why will you not put your husband's picture? It's in my picture you will put there. You want to marry me? It's an idol. It's wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will have a meeting, workers meeting. Then they want to serve food. Then they prop plastic plates and they serve all the others. Then we, the pastors, then they brought fine breakable plate, and then they came and serve us with five alive, then the rest. They sat down there with pure water, and then they put one nylon bag with
plastic spoon and then they arrange our own table. Hey! Well, you were there that day. You were there. I rebuke that nonsense. What is this? What you give them to eat is what you will give me. The type of plate you give them, the same plate. Type of plate you give me. In my house, I can eat anything special. If my wife decides so. But in the church, among brethren, why should it be like that? Why? When they are doing wedding, they will reception for wedding. We have wedding in the church. Reception for wedding. Then they say ministers, pastors, we sit down. Then they'll carry one cooler of food. Come and serve us in the, we are eating in the office. Then reception is going on. And other members and their guests, they are sitting there. I said, why will you do that? You see, they import this from Gentile traditions and bring it, especially Igbo tradition. It's wrong. I stopped it. I said, create a table somewhere in that place for ministers to sit down. All of us, we shall sit down. When there is time to serve people to eat, all of us will sit down in the reception. If you don't want chop there and are you sabi, then they don't take food to anybody anywhere. Some people didn't like it. I said, well, here, this is how it will be. You want to bring your tradition to Christianity. Suddenly, a servant has become a king. It's wrong. Praise the Lord. Go to the altar, special seat. Even drag a seat. Even for bride assembly, drag a seat. They said they keep one seat. Said this is Pastor Moses' seat. So when I come deliberately, I was going to sit on another seat. No, sir, see your seat there. I said, if you planted something there for me to sit on, I've not succeeded now. You will succeed. Why should you say I should sit on this one? No, why wouldn't I select any seat and sit down? Praise God. You can't get me. Praise the Lord. Pastor Zoe said, no, sir, that is your seat. I said, if you put anything there, you have failed. I'm sitting here. And if they come here with gun, they say, where is the pastor? They say, where is the pastor? The seat where you put special seat there, and that person, they will go catch now. They will look for me. They will not be able to see me. All these hidden traditions that you bring to the house of God is wrong. It's idolatry. And you preachers that demand worship, it is wrong. I know you may be doing it without knowing the implication of what you are doing. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. We are supposed to be humble. Very, very humble. And that's why Apostle Paul gave this warning. Let's read some scriptures. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Apostle Paul is generally known as his valedictory speech at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 25 up to verse 31. He said, and now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, people will come and demand worship. Matthew 23. This is how Jesus Christ expects us to be. From verse 1. It's a popular scripture. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phalanxes, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues. You are seeing, it's an identity. Verse 6 again. They love the uppermost rooms, special seats at feasts, and the chief seats inside the church. Special seat. Special seat is a spirit of Pharisees and Sadducees. Have you seen the type of seat kept for some of these Jews? Especially these small, small, small Pentecostal churches. These small, 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 small ones. The big, big ones, you won't see anything like that. These big, big churches, I'm taking note, you don't see such as elaborate as these small, 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 small ones. The church that is just 100 members, go and see the seat where they keep for Gio and his wife. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men with titles, Rabbi, Rabbi. But this is what he said. But be not ye called rabbi. Stop acquiring all this. Somebody, can you hear? He says, I just don't know where they got that thing from. I went to the website of one of my close minister friends. I'm learning not to call names again. And I saw his qualifications. Honorary doctorate this, doctorate up to this, up to about 8 doctorate degrees. All honorary. And what I'm even asking is, what have you done that you have acquired all this title? One small boy. Because they think that by those titles they will gain recognition. Verse 8, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all you are, we are all who? We are all who? Brethren. Brethren. You know, somebody think I'm trying to be humble, that's why I am called Brother Moses. Because you don't read your Bible. Amen. You're my brother. You're my sister. I feel more comfortable calling you my brother than to call you my son. My son. Zoe, my son. Now Zoe would like me to call him my son, because you would think that means a demonstration of a special place you have in my heart. My daughter, bless her. She think of sweet time. Then you too, my daddy. My daddy. Then the thing the thing they sweet you, that means you are special. We import all this from outside. My son, my daughter, my son. That is what you keep hearing among until they have even risen now. Those now. So they. sons of the prophet. Sons of the prophet. There's a language they use. Who are you submitting to? Oh God. Father, deliver your church. This nonsense has taken over the church of Jesus Christ. You hear it. Who are you submitting to? Where is your ministry submitting to? Who is your father in the Lord? My father in the Lord is above. Jesus is my father. He gave birth to me. Who is your father in the Lord? Who is your spiritual mentor? And they take it as a topic. You must have a mentor. You must have a... What they are telling is that you must have an idol. You must have an idol. And you must make some people your idol. You must be idol. You must be idolatrous. Praise the Lord. There must be a revolution to stop this nonsense. Sons of the prophet. Sons of the prophet. Sons of the prophet. Praise God. Now, are you saying that it's wrong to have a spiritual mentor? You choose who you know is bringing you up. We must have people that bring us up. We must. But there's a way you go about it until he who called you, you abandon him and follow a man that did not call you in devotion. Until when you want to take a decision in your church, instead of praying to who called you, you are calling your spiritual father in the Lord. You are sharing the glory. And that is idolatry. And people don't even know that most of this thing is money making. Because Apostle Paul said, the lesser is blessed by the greater. That's why Melchizedek blessed Abraham. So if you want to be great, like the great man, then you submit yourself. Then you become great. So they now go and then they submit. And then the tithe of the ministry is paid to the greater. Then the greater blesses you. Now they twisted that upside down. Now if the lesser is blessed by the greater, the blessing there is not God to bless you. It's not prayer. You, the greater, you are the one that is supposed to be taking care of them. Since your ministry is greater by whatever thing you use to show the greatness, then the lesser ones, you are to encourage them by help them build their projects, help them with finances, help them. But the order is, those lesser ones, they carry all their income and come and they give it to one that they say is greater than them so that he will bless them. Then they too, they will be as great as he. It's a spiritual 419. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. And for your information, we practice it here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe in my ministry, you want to support my ministry, and you consider it's a fertile ground you want to sow. You can sow with your offering, you can sow with anything you want to do. But when you do that, you are exercising faith. But that principle they taught you, I repeat, that principle is from the pit of hell. It is nothing but a product of commercialization of the gospel. That people will gather before you. I even understand there is even process of you admitting them to be your sons, sons of the prophet. You will pay certain fee. Some of them. So that you can be as great, great, great as, great as. Ha! Who has bewitched us to this level? All the churches that we are bigger than, that associate with us, some of them we ordained when they have a need, we take care of them. How can you sit down and tell them to collect their little tithe and say they can bring it to you? I understand that one in Lagos here would travel to somewhere in Auchi, he bought a jeep so that he will become son of a prophet, and then bought a jeep as a gift to go and give him to be admitted as a son. You see it? The one there in Auchi is already a multi-millionaire. You are struggling here. You have not even finished paying for your land where you are occupying. You gather the small changes so that somebody, can't you see that is something is wrong with you? You have to go to him and say, Daddy, you are doing so well. I've observed you are doing so well. This is who I am. I'm in Lagos. I am struggling in my ministry because I have this need. I have this need. But I've been watching your ministry and I have been following you. I follow you. Anytime you go here, I follow you. Before you follow you, I've been following you. Now, I am having problem. I need a car to be traveling to do ministerial work. If he wants to be your spiritual father, he will buy you the vehicle. And if he collected that jeep from you, he is wrong to have done it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are twisting the scriptures and it is wrong. Did I finish reading that scripture? Verse 9. Son of the prophet, spiritual father, verse 9. What did he say? And call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father which is in heaven. That is the scripture that nullifies these sons of the prophet, sons of this, sons of that. Pastor, are you saying that we don't have spiritual father? Timothy was a spiritual son to Paul. You understand what that means now? You should understand now. Timothy, what do you call him? Paul brought him up. Paul brought him up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I brought you up, Oscar. Prophet Sunday, I brought you up. Zoe, I brought you up. Adramitigba, I brought you up. From you didn't know Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. I taught you. Did you know water baptism? Did you know it? Praise the Lord. So I am your father in the Lord with a meaning to it. That is not the meaning of this statement here. If I produce you, my ministry gave birth to you, then you can refer to me as your father in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But to sit down and begin to convert children, adopt ministries that you did not sow, you are reaping where you didn't sow. It is wrong. Neither be ye called masters, verse 10. For one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the instruction by Christ himself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the way he put it. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is, he's addressing you. They say, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for fielded lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And verse 5. Praise the Lord. You can read that and on and on. You are not to be a lord over God's own heritage. You are not to be a lord. Pastors that are worshipped, you are another Lucifer. But that is the spirit that is on you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and verse 24. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Verse 24. See what he said. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. We don't have dominion over your faith. But a helper of your joy. For by faith ye stand. We don't have dominion over your faith. You must do it like this. You must do it like this. No, we are helpers. We are supposed to be helpers. You know why I say so? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will never forget an incident that took place. In my former church, I was just an ordinary member in the church. But I had my office, and almost every member, every staff in my office then was a member of our church. It was in a story building, and I came out. I came to the reception. I was doing something with my secretary. Then all of a sudden, I saw everybody was adjusting. They were adjusting. They were running. I said, what's happening? They said, Pastor is coming. So I peeped upstairs. I saw him parking his car. He was coming to see somebody in the office there. It wasn't me he came to see. One of the staff there was a minister in the church. So he came to see. And I felt very bad, and I entered my office. So when he finished, he branched, opened my office to say hello to me before going. And I said, sir, if you don't mind, please close the door. Come inside, sir. He came in. I said, sir, see something I observed. Immediately you came in parking your car, everybody was adjusting. They were running, adjusting, checking their dress, checking this. And the pastor was generally very feared by members. So I told him, I said, sir, I want to give you an advice. I said, I was very, very angry that they saw you and they started checking themselves. That means you are bringing up your members to be afraid of you instead of afraid of God. Sir, you have failed in your ministry. The man looked at me. He said, Brother Moses, thank you very much. Well, I never ever get afraid of anybody anyway. I said, I felt I should tell you this. He said, thank you very much. Because you are supposed to raise them up to fear God, not you. They are Christians only when you are around. That is what Apostle Paul was talking about. They were having dominion over your faith. No. The pastor is not the reference. It's God. If not, we have become your idol. Praise the Lord. We are supposed to be as humble as anything. As humble. Christ became, see, all of you that like to be anything, Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Let's read it up to verse 13 so you catch the story very well. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, can you see our example? thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see? Peter said, humble yourself and you'll be lifted up. Verse 9. Wherefore, that's the reason God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you observed that one of the most respected preachers in Nigeria is Daddy Adeboye? Do you know him with any designer, anything? Does he have any designer cloth? When you talk of physical appearance, demonstration of humility, you see it all over him. Do you ever see him preach and boast of any earthly possessions? Do you see all these ones that burn like grass for the fire, that's burn like grass for dry season in the bush? You see them with, they are anxious for service to start. Camera will show the latest designer, designer shoe, designer. If you want to know the latest cloth, watch pastors. They are the fashion trenders. For the first time, I thought I was not seeing. I had to clean my glass, clean very well. I saw a pastor that wore suit. This one is a different material from the one by the left. An apostle. You know, that is this side of the suit is a different material. Then this side is another material. Praise God. So what comes to me is, what is all this anyway? You know, praise the Lord. Is it because Madeboye is old? But Kumuyi, he saw him and his coat. Since I ever knew him, 70 something, 80 something, that I used to see him. Now that coat. Praise God. Now, why I refer it is that because he's so humble, have you ever had any scandal around him? He's highly exalted. Presidents come to him. Governors come to him. They come to him for counsel. He appears as humble as anything can be. Therefore, he's respected all over the world. The rest that are proud, now one scandal or the other, another scandal here. They are fighting here. Praise the Lord. Come on air, say so. They want to be in the social media. They want to be trending one news or the other. Meanwhile, those who are humble, the press may want to force them to talk. They don't even want to talk. Have you heard that anybody talk anything? He's even scared to talk. So that they are waiting for him to say anything. If you come to him, he's quoting Bible for you. He's preaching for you. When he finishes, he's gone. Praise the Lord. That is how it should be. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. There's a statement there concerning Moses. They see the commentary of Moses. He said, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was the meekest human being that lived on earth. And yet, he's the one that saw God face to face. He's the one that God allowed to see his backside. He's the one that remained 40 days, 40 nights in the presence of God. Came out, eyes could not behold the glory that covered him. He's the one that gave the law. He's the one that performed such mighty miracles no human being on earth has performed till date. And yet, as humble as anything. The rest of us here, when one person say he touched Pastor Moses' hand and he received healing. Hey, I told you, see how I'm very anointed. But see me. And I touched his cloth and I received healing. I told you, the end time I say I'm the most powerful. I'm the most power and I will get power. Power, 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 power. Amen. When you see them these days, one small manifestation of one power, that's all. They begin to make a claim, make a claim, make a claim, looking for recognition, looking for recognition. When you hear them telling stories of the exploits they have done, you see them talking about how they used to fast, pray for 5 hours non-stop. 5 hours non-stop. And when you see them give such testimony, we here now, we know it, we just say, we go finish this level, so. And then they are carrying their shoulders. Hey! They're in trouble with God if you don't stop that nonsense. If you're a true seed of God. Praise the Lord. Idolatry in the church. All this water that you are carrying now. Thank you. I've been waiting to make a comment on that water. Amen. I've been waiting to make a comment. Listen, church. If I make this comment and I end my message, it don't do. Time don't go. Listen, brethren. Listen, brethren. I started this message by a comment I made about my ministry being a teaching ministry. When God, listen, saw our problem. Samuel, you are hearing me? Daniel, listen very well, Daniel. For God so loved the world that he gave us anointing oil. For God so loved the world that he gave us bottled water. That whosoever believeth on it will receive healing, will receive deliverance. This sign shall follow them that believe. Listen. I'm talking about idolatry. If the water that we consecrate, I want to say something. The water, the oil we consecrate every Tuesday or any program, you hold that water, you hold that oil, you keep it in one corner of the room, put it inside one box, lock them. Immediately you have any problem, you have a bad sleep, the first thing that comes to your mind is that oil. That oil has become an idol. The first thing that comes to your mind when you have problem, no more bondage water, no more bondage, bless you, bring that water. To start with, before you go carry the water, at the beginning, don't die. It will not be your portion. In Jesus' name. That water has become your idol. Now, listen very well. Is that what I was teaching you? I am teaching you faith. There is nowhere written in the Bible that I have to use water for healing. There's nowhere written in the Bible that you should place your hand on my hand on the screen, Nowhere is written there. There's nowhere written that you should take oil and drink. It's not written there. Nowhere. What we're doing is faith. And what I aim to achieve is to make you believe, if I bless this, it works for me. You too, in the name of Jesus, you too bless it. It will work for you. I am a teacher. That's why I love the testimony of some time ago, a young man from Zambia. He said, he watched us every Tuesday. I bless water and people receive healing. He said he received a call from one town, another town, that a particular sister was having problem in the stomach, and they had taken drug, it would not work. They had prayed, it couldn't. They were calling him to join them to pray. And he said that they should give the sister water. He remembered how I used to do it. And he blessed the water on phone and told the sister to drink and she will receive healing. And she drank it. And 1 hour after, he received a call that the pain stopped. He called me. He said, but can I find that? Which scripture can I give the backing for it? I said, but did it work? He said, yes. I said, that is, the just shall live by faith. As thou hast believed, that is how God has honored it. If you had told her that she should go and drink tea, and the tea will go, and you pray over the tea, she drank it, it will have gone. If you had told her that she should, anything you tell her to do, it is a faith. So, now listen, church. I don't want to take your attention to water. I don't want to take your attention to oil. I want you to concentrate on that faith you have. Faith. Faith. Exercise your faith. Therefore, when we are blessing the water, join us. Now our faith is going to work together. But I also expect you that you will not only use, you will use anything at all, anything at all, anything. God honors faith. We are aiming to make you have direct contact, access to the same source that we have. We are what we call the wave offering, correct? Evidence. We are evidence. If it works for me, then it must work for you too. I am not a pastor that will want to make myself something, but I begin to tell you stories on special, as if I'm doing some dry fasting, and then an angel came and opened the door and gave me, you now, no angel comes, so you continue to depend on me. It is wrong. That is the reason why, if I stay at the altar and God shows me somebody as a gift, a grace, those of you who know me, no, I don't waste time. Immediately I will come down. You come here. Do you know you have such a grace? I will do everything to help you to bring it up so that you use it. Daniel, am I correct? Sunday, am I correct? All of you. All of you. All of you. Oscar, am I correct? Praise the Lord. You have it. All I'm telling you, see, you are sitting out there, you're looking up to me, when you have something higher than my own. Eh? Daniel, did you know you have this grace you had before? Are you not higher than me now? Do I see what you they see? Timothy was giving somebody prophecy. He said, see now. See it. See. You are doing like this. So I came to look. He said, see. I said, I don't see anything. And he was discerning. He said, see. And he was discerning. The person said, yes, correct. He said, see now. See. I said, I don't see. Praise the Lord. If it's some other ministry now, that gift will have been pocketed, will have been silenced. Then he'll be looking up to me. No. You have your grace. I have my grace. Praise the Lord. Eh? Amen. Oh, glory be to God. See, you have it inside of you. The power for your deliverance is in you. For your healing is in you. Oh, glory be to God. Tap into it. Tap into it. Tap into it. Practice it. William Branham said, practice divine healing. Apostle Paul speaks about spiritual exercise. Exercise what you have. Quench not the spirit. Look, despise not the gift. The faith, gift of faith. All of us have it. Practice it. Anybody that is sick, carry the anointing oil. Pray over it. Call another person. Join me. I'm holding my oil here. Pray with me. And apply it. Heaven will back it up. That's the kind of testimony I would like to hear from now on. And the enemy attacked me. And my head began to go kuro. I was running mad. I could not understand my head again. And I jumped up. And I prayed. And I took salt. And I put inside water. And I said, Lord, as I will wash my head, let this happen. And I washed my head. And I became free. That's the kind of testimony that excites teachers like me. It's more exciting. Amen. Listen very well. We grow. When I pray for you, when I give you a word of prophecy, and it comes to pass, when you testify, it is my gift you are promoting. Do you understand? When you now, you do it yourself, and you are giving testimony that you did it, and God honored it, you are promoting your own gift. You'll be growing higher, higher. So you are making us to grow in our own, and then your own is becoming stagnated. Tap into your own. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, stop making idol of water. Idol. That's why people travel from Europe, travel from South Africa, travel from where? All over Nigeria to Lagos to buy anointed water at Ikoto. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Meanwhile, you are paying for your own faith. It's your faith. It's wrong. Stop buying any water, anything. Stop buying. You don't buy anything. Don't buy. There is nothing to. Don't buy oil, special oil, special handkerchief, special t-shirt, special. It is your faith that that God is honoring. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 is my emphasis. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are not to conform. We are to transform. We are to put off the old man and put on the new man. We are to grow to perfection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the last, the prayer that Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. That prayer is very necessary. Now, for this cause, it says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart. Nothing more should dwell in that heart more than Christ. that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And the only way you keep yourself from idol is to replace this nonsense with Christ taking his proper place. Live a humble life. Allow God to announce you by himself. Be humble. Allow him to place you where he should place you. Be careful so that our worship of God shall not be in vain. So take note of these idols. Take note that your wealth will not take you away from God. Take note that you don't become somebody's idol. And take note that you don't make somebody also your idol. Idol of self, idol of the house, idol of the wealth, idol of the world, and idol of the sanctuary shall not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn number 180, Thou My Everlasting Portion. Can we stand up wherever you are? Close to thee, close to thee.
Close to thee. name of the Lord Jesus Christ.